We're going to break into our small groups, and we're going to talk about something that we're going to learn about today. And I don't know about you in your house, but yesterday I was supposed to do a whole bunch of, you know, honey to-do list kind of things, chores in our house, that just stuff that's, yeah, you can throw it up there, stuff that's been lingering and I need to do it. Like, we have this set of baseboards that I bought brand new from the hardware store that were pre-painted, and they've been in the hallway in the basement all bundled up nicely for 2.5 years. So we cleared all the boots out of the boot room, and I was supposed to nail them to the walls. We cleared the boots out of the boot room. It was great. So I would like you to get in groups of 6 to 8 people and talk about this. What's a project around the house that you were supposed to be doing? Because it's January, and sometimes we don't feel like it. And share, meet with the people you're with, and learn something new about each other. Go for it right now. Groups to 6 to 8 people. Okay, if I could get your attention back at the front. Getting to know people a little bit better? Yeah. The to-do list reveals a little, like, there's organizers, and then there's doers, and there's, like, I know we put permanent Christmas lights up on our house, so that all you got to do is turn on the switch, and they're, like, invisible in the summer. You can't see them on the eaves trough, and you just turn them on in the winter. Best idea ever, because you don't have to turn on Christmas lights. But sometime over the last year, they disconnected from the Wi-Fi and lost the password. So Caitlin and I got to climb up in the attic and just push a button. And then the lights will work again. We've had no Christmas lights this year. Because I'm not climbing up in the attic. Maybe not the best idea ever. Many of us follow Christ. And as we go through our journey of learning who Jesus is and becoming mature as a Christian, we begin to have questions. Like, what is it that I do? Where do I even begin when it comes to reading my Bible or those spiritual disciplines of prayer and intercession? And I don't know if you've been in that place, but you're in your quiet spot because someone said, I need to have a quiet spot. And you open your Bible and you're like, well, what do I read? If I feel bad, then maybe I read the Psalms. And if I feel real bad, then I read from Job. But for the most part, we think, like, our process of spiritual growth, like, Jesus wants to bless us, but we don't also realize that he wants to change us. And so this was the extent of my Christian life for the first few years of following Jesus, when I had to develop my own faith, not just what I grew up in a family. And it was really all that I knew. And then I remember our youth group, when I was in high school, we got invited to a rally. And the leader at this rally actually laid out a map of the world. He just spread it out all the way across the stage. And he asked everybody to pick a country. And I was thinking it through. He was talking about all the things that God had planned. And my thought process was, well, what does this have to do with me? What does it have to do with blessing me? If God is there to make our lives better because he's with us, what does this map have to do with blessing me? And at the rally, the guy talked about faraway countries and told us how many people in the world had never heard of Jesus. And then he pointed to the middle of Asia. And he said something to me that was profound. He said, in this part of the world, in the middle of Asia, in the north of Africa, in this part of the world, people cannot hear the story of God coming to save them because there is no one there that knows it. No one in those countries knows the story, so the story cannot be told. And after sharing his heart for the nations, he did something that I don't see very often anymore. At the end of his presentation, he prayed for us, and he asked if anyone had felt the call of God to go to the nation that they had picked on the map. And he asked them to stand up. And at that rally, they commissioned those people. If this is something God has put on your heart, we want to pray into it. And as I thought about what he said, I had an opportunity to respond. I began to wonder. God had put a small seed inside of me. And that day, it began to grow. And over the next few months, as I as I look back at that situation, and I realized that God was slowly changing my small purpose that revolved around me into his global purpose that revolved around him. And the question that kept coming up in my mind as a teenager was, would I continue with my me-centered purpose? With my vending machine God that said, if I push the right buttons and do the right thing, I will get the right blessing. Would I change my small purpose that revolved around me into his purpose? Would I continue with my self-centered purpose, or would I live for God's purpose? And today I want to ask you that same question. What about you? The world wants to drown out your true purpose. The world wants to drown out the unchanging purposes of God. And if you miss the purpose of God, then you miss how to live, how to give, how to raise your kids. You have the wrong center of everything. And the good news is that God has laid his purpose out for us. It's easy to understand. It's very clear. It's not hidden. But when it's revealed, it's been revealed from the beginning. So what is the true purpose of God? The purpose of God is that God blesses his people to reach all people. God blesses his people to reach all people. And when we talk about the purpose of God, we're talking about his mission, the mission of God. So what is God's mission? Well, the mission of God is written right there in the beginning of the Bible. The Bible opens up with this glorious introduction, and as you read through it, right after Genesis 11, Genesis 1 through 11, it's the beginning of the Bible, kind of the preface, the creation, the fall, the flood, the Tower of Babel. And then, right after that section, something happens. In Genesis chapter 12, the plot, the storyline starts. Now, it's one thing to reach one language, but it's another thing to reach hundreds and thousands of languages all over the world. So Genesis chapter 11 ends with all of these nations scattered, all of these people all around the world in different languages. And what is God going to do with this? How is he going to regather all of these people with his glory? And this is where Genesis 12 begins. In Genesis 12:3, the Lord looks down amidst all the nations, and he picks one man. And we know him as Abraham. And through this one man, he begins to reach all nations. Genesis 12:1-3, it says this: the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I'll show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families on earth will be blessed through you. This passage in Genesis is very, very important to the rest of the story in the Bible. See, in the midst of all the nations scattered, God looks down and he picks Abraham and he says, Abraham, leave. Leave your family, leave your friends, leave your comfort. Go to the land I'll show you. And God made Abraham and his descendants into this great nation that we now know as Israel. And all the nations would be blessed. But I think it's important for us to also look at that last sentence. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. You see, this revolutionized human history. In Abraham, the domino tips, and it goes from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph to Joshua to David to the prophets to the early church and to us. As I was reading in my commentary, it said this, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, these are some of the most unifying verses in the Bible. The whole of God's purpose is encapsulated there. The mission of God begins in Genesis 12. And we can see this throughout Genesis. God repeats his command to Abraham over and over. And then he gives it to Isaac, and he gives it to Jacob. Genesis 26:4, it says this, I'll cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give them all of these lands. and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And again, he gave it to Isaac's son Jacob, Genesis 28:14. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust on the earth. Like if there wasn't enough stars, now there's enough dust. They will spread out in all directions to the west and the east and the north and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. We're not even out of Genesis yet. And we can see this mission of God is on repeat over and over again. Now, in my studying for this, I read about a family that has this large area of trees behind their yard, in right behind their house. And their kids are always in the back. They're playing around, digging. Like, I grew up in one of those. We lived right on the edge of the city, and there was a field there that was just leftover stuff from construction. And we spent hours back there. And mostly we bring back, like, Coke bottles or dead bugs. But this family, recently, they had gotten a metal detector. So it was like, game on, new level for the kids. And their oldest daughter, she comes running in one day, and she's like screaming, and she's like, I found an ancient arrowhead. Like, she was so excited. She's like, I need to polish it. So for half an hour, she like climbed up on the counter, and she's polishing this thing in the kitchen sink, and she grabbed the Clorox and the magic eraser and her brother's toothbrush, and she's like polishing and scrubbing this thing. And after about a half an hour, she says to her dad, oh no, I've spent a half an hour polishing a rock. This isn't an arrowhead, it's a rock. And the dad was standing there in the kitchen. And as a dad, you can't miss an opportunity like this. Like her feet were in the kitchen sink and she's disappointed. And the dad, well, here's what he said. He said, Rachel, you know, the world offers you a rock to polish. But God wants to give you a purpose that's greater to pursue. The world offers us a rock to polish, but God gives us a purpose to pursue. Think about that. The world offers money and relationships and self-centeredness. And that young girl, she figured out in 30 minutes what most people take 30 years to figure out. See, because most people spend 30 years trying to polish their perfect career, their retirement, their portfolio, only to realize that they're polishing a rock. And God wants to give you a purpose that will fully satisfy. And his purpose is this: God blesses his people to reach all people. God blesses his people to reach all people. And as we continue in the Old Testament, all those stories that we read about, they go back to Genesis 12. Remember, it's on repeat. Think about the story of the Red Sea, where God parts the Red Sea in Exodus 12. And he wants Israel to come out of Egypt and get to the promised land. But there was this bigger reason. He wanted all the nations to know who he was and to hear the story. In Exodus, God says to Pharaoh, Exodus 9:16, "But I have spared you for a purpose, to show you my power and to spread my fame throughout the earth." God wanted Israel to come out of Egypt, but he also wanted the world to know. See, every story we read in the Bible is connected to that Genesis 12 promise. Think of Solomon. God gave Solomon wisdom beyond his years, the great king. Why? Why? God blesses Solomon so he can bless the world. King Solomon became richer and wiser than any other king on earth. And the people from every nation came to consult him and hear the wisdom that God gave him. We read it in 1 Kings. And kings and queens would travel thousands of miles to sit at the feet of Solomon. And what would he say? Well, we can read it in Proverbs. Fear the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10. Every Old Testament story, you can see this mission of God. Now, have you ever been flipping through Amazon? I'm going to reveal something about me a little bit. Have you ever been flipping through Amazon or Etsy or something like that, and you're looking for a Christmas present? Right, like, I have to find my wife a Christmas present. Buy me something. I'm expecting it because it's Christmas time. And I'm flipping through Amazon, and I stopped to read. You see it on the coffee cups or the little journals or posters. And And I stopped to read what was on one of these coffee cups because I need that thing for my wife for Christmas. And it made me a bit happy because on this coffee cup, it had a verse. And you don't see that very often these days in stores and stuff. Like, it wasn't a self-promoting, you can be the best you can kind of thing. There was a Bible verse on there. And it was this great Old Testament verse. Maybe you'd recognize it. Psalm 46:10. And here's what it said. It said on the coffee cup, "Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know I'm God." But right after that verse, I noticed something in the picture. There was this dot, dot, dot. Right? "Be still and know that I am God. Dot, dot, dot." And I'm sure you've seen this verse on journals and stickers or like the coffee cup I had. And did you ever notice that dot, dot, dot? Because whenever you see that triple dot, you know that there's more to that verse. Maybe the guy who drew the little picture didn't have room, so they didn't put it on there. And I got to thinking, like, how bad is the second half of Psalm 46:10 that it never makes it on the journal or the sticker or the coffee mug? Like, what does it say? It says, "Be still and know that I am God, but don't eat bacon." I don't know. So would you open your Bible right now? Like, look it up, Psalm 46:10. Open your Bible, and I want to read Psalm 46:10 with you. Here's what it says, Psalm 46:10. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world." Well, wait a minute. Think about this. Like, how often do we highlight and memorize and underline blessings for ourselves? Promises for me. But then we dot, dot, dot. We gloss over and miss the mission that probably involves us. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world." God wants us to live for a bigger purpose. He wants to bless his people to reach all people. And once you see this, you can't unsee it because it's so repeated through the Bible. The promises in Genesis 12 is literally over and over and over and over again. So let me give you a few more. Jeremiah 16:19. "Lord, you're my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of trouble. Nations from around the world will come to you and say, 'Our ancestors left us a foolish heritage because they worshipped worthless idols.'" Maybe Habakkuk 2:14. "For as the waters fill the sea, the earth will be filled with an awareness of the glory of the Lord." Maybe Malachi 1:11. "My name will be great among the nations. From where the sun rises to where it sets, in every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great amongst the nations, says the Lord Almighty." Like, are we going to settle for a self-centered purpose? Are we instead going to say yes to the purpose that was written in Genesis 12, the purpose of God? God blesses his people to reach all people. A lot of people struggle against living for four words. Every day. I don't know if you felt this tug, but I see it every day. They would never say these four words out loud, but they're playing it on repeat in their minds, especially in our Canadian culture. Every morning people wake up and they reach for their phone next to their bed and they go to an app and it's connected to their savings. And that's the first word that comes into their minds. They say savings. Savings, and they look at the savings account right there, and they try to motivate it, like, "Grow, little guy, grow." And the older they get, the more that their savings grow. And then they get up and they walk into the kitchen and they make coffee and they hug each one of their kids one by one. They bring all their kids around them and they say the second word of the day, safety. Safety. All they want is for their kids, their wife, their family to be safe. And then they drive to work, and in that commute and in their mind, they say the third word of the day, resume. They want others to know about them. They want them to be impressed. They want to move up the corporate ladder, increase in their influence in their job. And at the end of that work day, they come home from work and they sit on the couch and they give that sigh of relief because it was a good hard day at work. And they say the fourth day word of the day, relax. Savings, safety, resume, relax. And their lives are in this tug of war around these four words. It isn't easy to revolve our lives. Isn't it easy to revolve our lives around them? Savings, safety, resume, relax. And when God invites us into this global and eternal purpose, how do we respond? I've been there. Well, Lord, does it affect my savings? Does it affect my safety or my resume or my relaxation? So if it does, God, could you just have me excused from this? I'm not saying no, but can you give me something else to be missional for? And yet God wants us to play a significant and sacrificial part. He's calling us into his purpose. He blesses his people to reach all people. Will we join him? Well, this is the Old Testament. Let's transition to the New Testament. We see Jesus continue with what he started in Abraham. In church circles, we call it the Great Commission. You heard of that one? Like, maybe you've heard of it and you're a little bit confused. Who gave it? When was it given? Why was it given, this Great Commission? Well, it was Jesus' final words to the first Christ followers. And there's not just one Great Commission text, as much as we call one of them that. There's actually five of them in the New Testament. So I want to run through them real quick. The first and the most famous is Matthew 28:19. Actually 18 to 20, and it says this: Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority on heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am always with you to the end of the age. Sound familiar? Maybe you've heard it once or twice. And when you see this commissioning in Matthew, what you see is that Jesus has all authority. And he says, go and make disciples. We are called to be people who make disciples. But notice it says, make disciples of all nations. Right? There's this scope that's not just for us, it's for everybody. The scope is all nations. Well, I want to move to the second Great Commission text. It's found in Mark 16:15, and it says this, and he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And here, like, when we read the sentence, to everyone, that's the main emphasis. The third Great Commission text, it's in Luke 24:46-47. Here's what it says, and he said, Jesus, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and raised from the dead on the third day. It was also written that his message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You notice that Luke started that with, as it was written? He's not saying, well, this is a new idea, like Jesus came and brought us a new idea. No. This idea has been going on since Genesis. And then he says, Christ will suffer and die and rise again on the third day. That's what Jesus did. He says, repentance, that's how we respond to Jesus. Forgiveness of sins, that's the benefit of responding appropriately. And then he finishes with the scope, to all nations. Well, the fourth Great Commission text, it's found in John 20:21. If you notice, they're in each of the Gospels. So it must have been important that everybody included it. Again, he said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And this means, pay attention to this, as a Christ follower, the question isn't, am I sent? God, would you send me? Am I sent? No, the question is, where? Where am I sent? Because we're all sent. We're all the sent ones. And some of us may go geographically further than others, but we are all sent ones. Well, the fifth and final Great Commission in the New Testament text is found in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. See, the commissioning in Acts, it emphasizes that we can't do this on our own strength. So if we're thinking, well, if that's God's purpose, it must be my purpose, I got to do this on my own, whoa, 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 it's God's purpose. And he's inviting us to do it with him. The power of the Spirit will come upon us. This commissioning reminds us that we're his witnesses. And of all the ways that God could reach the world, he could just stand up there and everybody could know everything. But instead, he said, I am sending you. I have chosen you. And I just have to ask, why, God, did you choose five commissionings? Like, why don't you just say it once and move on? Like, why five times? Why did you give us five Great Commission texts? And maybe it's because we gravitate towards our own small, self-absorbed purpose. And accidentally, we drown out the purposes of God. Think about the Apostle Paul, right? He wrote so much of the New Testament, and he planted many churches across Europe and Asia. And I want you to listen to what Paul says about his purpose. Like, this is Paul defining what he is doing. And he says in Galatians 3:14, Christ redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, Paul's talking about the early church, the new believers. Christ redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Paul attached his purpose to what God said in Genesis 12. He said he redeemed us. Why? So that what began in Abraham, Genesis 12, might be fulfilled. The mission of God to reach all peoples was the very purpose of Paul. And so it should be ours as well. Because we all play a part. And the culmination, the culmination of this purpose is found in Revelation 5:9. When it talks about the end, what will happen at the end of the world and everything that we currently know, we see the promise of Abraham fulfilled. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sang a new song saying, you're worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain and your blood was purchased for God. Persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. Wow. We see worshipers from every tribe and language and people and nation. God will accomplish his purpose. And his purpose comes with a guarantee. And the question for us is, will we play a part? Don't settle for the small purpose the world offers, polishing that rock of living for money or living for relationships or self-centeredness. Instead, we live for God's purpose. He blesses his people to reach all people. This is the greatest purpose we can live for. I read about actually a really cool story about a pastor. And he likes to tell the story about how his family decided to adopt a child. And when they decided to adopt, they already had five kids. It's like they got their own basketball team, but every basketball team needs a sub. Like, the five guys get tired. We need a six. And this church, yeah, the bar's a little bit higher than just five. But we have families that maybe they're shooting for baseball teams, right? Like, going for the 13 on a football team. But anyways, as they began this adoption process to adopt a boy from China. Now, when you adopt, that's all you talk about. Every conversation you have during that 15-month process, it's just like, we're adopting. What does that look like? People have questions. They want to know. And you're just excited about this new idea, this new person coming to your family. But before this family left for China, they took some time for a family vacation on the way there. And they stayed at a hotel. And one morning, the dad went downstairs to have some coffee in a restaurant. And, And the waitress came over and started talking, obviously, about adoption. And she's like, what brings you here? Well, we're on our way to adopt a child from China. And the waitress asked a question that he was unprepared for, a question that confused him. It took the dad completely off guard. And she asked him, does he know you're coming for him? And dad said, oh, excuse me? Yeah, this boy in China, she says, does he know you're coming for him? And the dad said, ma'am, he has no idea. He has no idea that we've spent $40,000 in the application process. We've spent 15 months in background checks. He has no idea that he has five siblings that desperately already love him. And he has no idea that he has a father. But I'm coming for him. I'm coming for him. And as we talk about the second coming of Christ, we must remember half the world has never seen him. They've never heard of him. Half the world has no way of knowing who Jesus is, but he's coming for them. And often we become satisfied with knowing God and who he is to us personally. I've made a personal decision for Jesus, but we forget about the world's need for his saving grace. You see, God is calling you to reach all people who have never heard of Jesus. So, what would it look like to prayerfully consider how God is calling you to go? Remember, God blesses his people to reach all peoples. And in doing this, we're saying to those who have never heard that we are coming for you. We are coming. Let's pray. God, thank you for this call. We're coming for you. And I love how it's changed, because it's no longer God came to be with us, because you're already with us. But now you are sending us, and we are coming, we the church, we the family of God, we the believers, we the Christ followers, we are coming. We're coming to share with you who Jesus is. We're coming to let you know how great he is. We're coming to help you in your journey so you don't have to do it on your own. We are coming for you because we care so much about you. So God, today would you put that new in our hearts. Just like as a teenager, I was standing there in Missions Fest and listening to the speaker say, pick a country. And I picked Canada. And you called me here and you gave me a heart. God, would you stir that up in us again? That our faith would not be our faith, me by myself, but it would be our faith, this church family, this community, and everyone that I meet. God, would you take the singular word, the faith that says God blesses me, and give us a passion for the second half. God blesses me so that I can go and bless others. We even wrote it in the vision of our church that you gave to us, that we would train up leaders, and out of that overflow, out of that blessing, would come an outreach to elementary age kids and their families. Everybody from grandma and grandpa all the way down to the little ones. And this church family would grow in strength, in numbers, in deep faith, because it's no longer me and my purpose. I come to church because I get fed. But instead, it's me in God's calling and his purpose. What do you have for me, God? What can I give to this church and family? God, would you stir that up in us again? Whether it's new because we're new believers, whether we've never heard it before, really God wants me and he wants to use me, or whether it's been something we've known our whole lives and we've just been distracted by those four other things. God, would you stir up in us, send your Holy Spirit to move us, to, as we prayed for the kids, to change us to be better than what you created us to be. As I read the story, God, thank you for calling us, but call us again. Remind us who you are so that out of that excitement and overflow, it wouldn't be on our list of, yes, this is something that I have to do, it's on my honey-do list, But instead it would be, this is the most exciting thing I can do, and it gives purpose to everything in my life. God, we call on you again because you said we can't do it on our own. We call on you to do it with us. And we put our yes on the table. We're all in. God, we want to do it with you. Come and be with us. In your name, Jesus. Amen. If you want to go deeper, like I know many times in my life I sat on a Sunday morning and I went home and I said, wow, that was provocative. And then I did nothing. If you want more, give me a phone call. Shoot me an email. Send it to the church office. It'll forward to my box. I want to chat with you about this. God has called you, you personally, you specifically, to be on mission for him. And if you want to move into that, there's no stopping you, because God is with you and he will empower you. So give me a message, give me a shout. I want to sit down with you and I want to see, I want to get behind you. Bruce's words, we want to support you in every way we can to do what God has called you to do. So let us know. And in closing, I want to break into our groups again, because it's one thing to hear about it. We need to do something with it. So understanding God's mission, it helps us orient our lives towards his purpose, right? God blesses us in many ways, and he calls us to use those blessings to reach the world. Here's the question I have for us today. How have you viewed God's blessing on your life? And how can you use God's blessing, that same blessing, to bless others? What are you doing about it? How have you viewed it, and what are you doing with it? So go for it. Pray for each other. Encourage each other. If it's even on a different topic, love each other like God has called us to. And chat about this, because I'm excited about where God is going to take us. And I will see you then on Wednesday night for prayer or next Sunday morning. Amen.